All right, I'll get you to turn to the book of John, chapter 19. Book of John, chapter 19, and I'm going to read from the NLT because and we're all very familiar with this scripture. But I think being the Resurrection Sunday, this is quite appropriate with what I'm talking about today. Book of John, chapter 19, and starting at verse 28. And Jesus knew that his mission was now finished, and to fulfill the scripture, he said, "I am thirsty." And a jar of sour wine was sitting there, so they soaked up a sponge in it and put it on a hyssop branch and held it up to his lips. Now, where it says there to fulfill the scripture, it's actually referring to in the Old Testament, in the book of Psalm 69. You don't have to turn there, but it says in Psalm 69, 20 and 21, it says, "Their insults have broken my heart and I am in despair. For only one person would show some pity, if only one would turn and comfort me. But instead they gave me poison for food and they offer me sour wine for their thirst." You know, like God always backs up the scripture. That's why it says there to fulfill the scripture. And this is what was being said here in the book of Psalm. But we'll keep continuing on John chapter 19 and beginning at verse 30 now. "And when Jesus had tasted it, he said, 'It is finished.' And then he bowed his head and gave up his spirit." You know, just before Jesus died on the cross, he said, "It is finished." And when he said it was finished, he'd completed everything that he needed to complete in order for us to live a life that is a life that pertains to life and godliness. Amen. But how do we respond to what's finished? When he said it's finished, how do we respond to what the finished work of Christ is? Amen. And it doesn't require our works. We don't have to do works. We don't have to earn the finished work of Jesus. He's already done it. Amen. And what we need to understand is how we come into that place of rest in Him. And you know, I look at it when we gave our heart to Jesus. Did we have to do something to earn it? We just received it by faith, didn't we? We received it by faith. And so we didn't have to work for it, and we just had to believe by faith, you know. And in other words, Jesus through his blood has declared that you're healed. Amen. You're already righteous. You're already being delivered. And you know, there's a world out there that they're already forgiven, but they don't know it. There's a gift out there for them that they don't know. They just haven't signed for that package, you know, because God says he's forgiven all the sins of the world, you know, that they just haven't accepted that gift of Jesus into their heart. Their sins are already forgiven, but they just haven't signed for that package. You know, they don't have to go to hell, amen? They don't have to go to hell because he's forgiven them. But, you know, the world will tell you, oh, you know, but God is not a loving father. He's not this. It's the lies of the enemy that come, and people believe that they are not righteous to be able to come and into the presence of God. But because he's already declared that, it's now up to us to receive those things that Jesus has already done. But what Christians do most of the time, we're always trying to work out, well, how can I become more holy? How can I do this? You know, will I read the Bible more? If I pray more? They're trying to do all the works of the flesh, when Jesus has said I've already done it for you, and you just have to begin to receive what he's already done. You know, how can I become more righteous? You're already righteous. Amen. We're already prosperous because that's what the finished work of the cross has done in your life and my life. And if you're trying to do something versus believing what Jesus has already done and take it by faith, and receive what the finished work of Christ has done in your life and my life. You know, faith doesn't move God. Faith moves you into the position where God is. Amen? You know, God has made all the moves he's going to make. He went on the cross and he died. He went down to hell. He took the keys of death. He did everything for you and I, and set us free. You know, the enemy's defeated. Amen. Faith is a positive move, and it's a positive response to what Jesus has already made available to you and I. And as Christians, you know, we're going to stop trying to do things in order to make God do what we want and to see the things change in our life. Amen. And you're probably thinking, well, if Jesus has done everything, and then I'm meant to not do things by the works, so then how do I receive what's already done? How do I receive what everything that he's done on the cross? How do I begin to receive these things? And how do I respond to that finished work of Jesus? Because it's a complete thing. When Jesus says, "It is finished," he said, you're already healed. How do I respond to the healing? Say you've got sickness in your body today. How do you respond to that healing that you haven't seen yet? Jesus, in another way, is how do we respond to the grace that God has made available to you and I? How do we respond to that grace? How do we respond to what Jesus has made available to us? Amen. So I want us to turn to the book of Galatians chapter 2, and we're going to look at something here. Galatians chapter 2, and I'm going to read from the NLT again. Galatians chapter 2, and starting at verse 16. Yet we know that a person is made right with God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by obeying the law, and we have believed in Jesus Christ so that we might be made right with God because of our faith in Christ, not because we have obeyed the law, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. You know, and this verse of scripture is really profound, that a person is made right with God by what? Faith. Amen. And it's faith in Jesus Christ and not obeying the law. Amen? Why? Because Jesus has already made you right with him. Amen? It's by faith that we receive it, you know. It says there that, you know, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. And you know, God, we're always trying to do things, and I'm guilty of this. So you know, I'm preaching this to myself that you know sometimes when things aren't changing in our life, we begin to take our eyes off Jesus and begin to think, well, what can I do to make God make the moves for me? But He's already done it, and He's wanting us to come into that place of rest to begin to be able to receive what the finished work of Jesus has already done. Because we've already been made right with God. You know, sometimes we think, you know, when we make a mistake that, well, God's angry with me. I've made a mistake, but you know what? He says you're righteous. And that's the position that we need to see ourselves from, that we're already being made righteous with him by God in faith. So praying more and following all the Ten Commandments, all the religious things that, you know, that you're taught in a church setting, you know, all these things aren't going to make you right with God, because you're already being made right with him, amen, because of the work of Jesus on the cross. In order for us to respond to the finished work of Jesus, knowing that we're being made right with him, the first thing that we need to do is we need to make a decision in our hearts and believe that God loves us. We're going to make a decision to believe that God loves us. Amen? And, when I was preparing this, and, you know, there's so many people today that, you know, see God as an angry God, that he's looking to punish us every time we make a mistake. But I want to tell you, God loves you. The love of God, he is just so powerful. God is love. Amen. I want you to say out loud, I believe God loves me. I want you to say it again. I believe God loves me. You know, that needs to get deep down on the inside of us. It's one thing for you to say that you love God. It's another thing for you to believe that God loves you. You know, if you can't, if you don't believe God loves you, it puts us in a really difficult position. Jeremiah, and you don't have to turn there, 31 tells us that he loves us with an everlasting love. Everlasting, that's forever. It's not. There's no conditions on that. It's everlasting love. He loves us with an everlasting love. He sent his only son to die on the cross. That's his demonstration of his love for you and I. We need to settle in our hearts before we walk out of this building today. If you're not believing that God loves you, you need to settle it in your heart today that he loves you. And if you have to keep speaking it out and keep confessing that God loves me, then until it becomes real on the inside, because I'll tell you now, if you don't believe God loves you, you will rebel against him. And I'll show you this in the book of Deuteronomy 21. If you want to turn there, Deuteronomy 21. Deuteronomy 21. Praise God. And just to give you a little bit of background on Deuteronomy chapter 1, Moses, he is recounting the history of Israel and when he took them out of the land of Egypt, and he was taking them on to the land that he had promised them, which is the land of Canaan. And, you know, God on Mount Sinai had given all the laws to his people of Israel. But then he told Moses to lead the people out of the land of Egypt into the land of Canaan, and he appointed some leaders, and from each of the tribes, he set up each tribe to act amongst the people to settle the disputes. You've got to remember this journey that they were coming out of Egypt was meant to be 7 days. It took 40 years. Because it said there that it was to settle all the disputes. And so when the Israelites reached the borders of Canaan, they sent out 12 spies to the land to go and check out the land of Canaan. And we've all read the story. The 12 went out, 10 come back with an evil report or a bad report. And you'll see here why. Deuteronomy 1 and verse 26. But you were unwilling to go up and rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. You grumbled in your tents and said, "The Lord hates us." So he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us into the hands of the Amorites to destroy us. See, if you believe that God is angry with you or he hates you, how can you believe the truth that's in this book? How can you believe what he says in this book? Because it says there that they believed that the Lord hated them. The Lord hates us, so that he brought us out of Egypt to deliver us then. So they thought that, oh, well, God hates us, so he's delivering us to the Amorites to destroy us. And, you know, when you have that look on towards God that, you know, he's angry with me, that he hates me, you'll rebel against him. So you need to settle it in your hearts today that God loves you. I want you to say it again. God loves me. I believe God loves me. Amen. You know, we need to settle that in our hearts, because that's so important for our journey with the Lord Jesus, amen, that God loves us. You know, even in the most difficult times that you're going through, if you just believe that God loves you, that might be just enough to get you through whatever you're facing. And that's the first step in responding to the finished work of Jesus. is the love of God for us and how much he loves us. And I don't think we really understand how much he loves us. You know, in our head, we think, oh, yeah, no, thank you, Jesus, that, you know, you died on the cross. But it needs to become real on the inside. It needs to become real that the love of God that he has for us, that, you know, it doesn't matter what goes on in our life, that that love of God carries us through every situation. Amen? And when Jesus ended his earthly ministry, the last thing he said was that it was finished. He said it was finished. He transitioned the previous law of Moses and which depended on self-effort. Everything in the law, everything depended on self-effort. But under the current law of grace, which is unmerited favor, we don't have to operate on that dependency anymore. Amen. As I read in Galatians 2:16, for no one will ever be made right with God by obeying the law. So we can't, if you're trying to follow the laws, if you're trying to follow the Ten Commandments or anything like that, you're wasting your time. You know, because we've been redeemed from that. We've been redeemed from the curse of the law. Amen. Now let's go to Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Galatians 2 and verse 20. And I'm going to read from the Amplified here, so it might sound a little bit different to your version, but I want us to see something here. Galatians 2 and verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ. That is, in him I have shared his crucifixion. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith, by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting in the Son of God who loved me. There's that word again, who loved me. And he gave himself up for me. I do not ignore or nullify the gracious gift of the grace of God, his amazing unmerited favor. For if righteousness comes through observing the law, then Christ died needlessly. His suffering and death would have no purpose whatsoever. You know, to rest in what Jesus did doesn't mean we don't do anything. Amen. Doesn't mean they go, oh, well, you know, Jesus has done it all, then that means I don't have to do anything. That's not what the thing. It means that we need to set aside any worry, any anxiety that we might have, and we need to trust in him, because it's no longer I that live, it's Christ in us, amen? It's Jesus in us, and trust in the Son and believing what his word says. Because it's no longer I, amen? No longer I that live. And it says there, you know, and this is in the Amplified, that I, by adhering to, relying on, and completely trusting. You know, we've got to completely trust in him, amen? You know, so many people today still try to live under the law. You know, under the covenant law, it was what we did first so God could bless second. And I'll show you that, and we'll go back to the Book of Deuteronomy 28. Book of Deuteronomy 28. And we're all very familiar with this verse of scripture, Deuteronomy 28 and chapter and verse 1. And I'm going to read from the King James Version here. And it shall come to pass, if you shall hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and do all his commands which I command you this day, that the Lord thy God will set you high above all the nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. The word there, hearken, means to hear and do. It's obedience, hear and do. You know, if you diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Verse 3, blessed shall you be in the city and blessed shall you be in the field. So what was the condition in verse 2 to be blessed? We had to hearken to the voice of the Lord your God. Then the results of that is what? A blessing. Amen. So if you under the old law, if you diligently followed everything that God had told you, then you would be blessed. Amen. And that was the key ingredient under the covenant law, was obedience. The law was perfect. We weren't. Amen. There was nothing wrong with the law. The problem was with us. We could never follow the law. Amen. That was the root issue. There was nothing wrong with the laws that God had given Moses on Mount Sinai, but the problem was us. We couldn't follow those laws, and that was the only way God was able to bless us, if we obeyed the voice of the Lord your God. But in most cases, we couldn't follow it. So then we fell under the curse. And if you look from Deuteronomy 28, from about verse 15, I think it goes up to 68, I think it is, was all the curses, and they were horrendous. If you get time, have a look that some of the things that the curses were. And yeah, in most cases, it led to death. Amen. Praise God that we're no longer under that. Praise God, we've been redeemed from that. We've been set free. We don't have to worry about those things, because he has redeemed us from those things. Now, I want us to go to book of Hebrews chapter 8. Hebrews chapter 8. I'm going to read from the NIV, Hebrews 8, starting at verse 7. For if there had been nothing wrong with the first covenant, no place would have been sought for another. But God found fault with the people and said, "The time is coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant I made with their forefathers when I took them by the hand to lead them out of Egypt, because they did not remain faithful to my covenant and I turned away from them, declares the Lord." You know, when God says that he's making a new covenant, and the covenant won't be like the covenant of your forefathers. And that's what I read out before, that, you know, if you didn't diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, you would fall under the curse. You know, but God was declaring that he's making a new covenant with us. And this new covenant that he was creating for you and I, that we walk in today, that covenant he was declaring, it's not what you do that determines what I do. He's turned it around. He's flipped it on its head. And it's now, it's him. It's not what we do. It's no longer what we have to do. It's no longer the works and all the things that, you know, that we had to do. We just have to believe, amen? We just have to trust in what his word says and believe on what he says in his word, amen? And so he had a solution, because he knew we couldn't do it. He had a solution, and that solution was to take us out of the equation and to replace him with somebody who could follow it, and that was Jesus. And that was Jesus. Someone that was going to be faithful. Is Jesus faithful today? You know, he's faithful. And we become the beneficiaries of what Jesus and God had done. We become the beneficiaries of that, and then we can walk in that new covenant that we can walk in. And I'm going to read in the Amplified in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 13. "And when God speaks of a new covenant or agreement, he makes the first one obsolete and out of use. And what is obsolete and out of use and annulled because of age is ripe for disappearance and to be dispensed with altogether." God has made the covenant of law obsolete. Amen? He's made it obsolete. It's out of use. So if you're trying to operate under that old law, it's out of use. Amen? God makes it pretty clear that if you're operating under that covenant of law, you're operating under a covenant that's no longer valid or doesn't exist any longer. Amen? Because we have a better covenant with better promises. And you have to understand why the law was first brought in. You know, it was to make people aware of their sin. People were lawless and they sinned against God and they sinned against each other. And, you know, people were doing all kinds of stuff, but they weren't aware of the sin. So that's why the law was brought in. It was a bit like when Cain killed Abel. He didn't know he'd done anything wrong because there was no law in place. So he, you know, and so God had to bring the law so that the people of Israel then were aware of what they could and couldn't do. Amen? And God intended for the Mosaic law to be a blessing for his people. And he also states that the law is to teach his people that he is holy. Amen? And that and probably the most important thing that that the law brought, it was that Mosaic law did, was to is to reveal that our need for a saviour. Amen. That we need a saviour. That we couldn't live without one. Amen. And you don't have to turn here. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 3. All praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms because we are united with him. You know, Paul here is telling us we are blessed with every spiritual blessing. Amen. He's not telling us you're going to get blessed. He said you have already been blessed with every spiritual blessing. Amen. Say out loud, I am blessed. Say it again, I am blessed. Amen. And again, you don't have to turn here, but 2 Peter 1:3 says, and his divine power has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who are called by his glory and virtue. You know, so everything that pertains to life and godliness, he's already given that to you. We've already received it. It's already done. Your redemption is already done. You're not trying to get redeemed. You're already redeemed. Amen. You know, we've got to change our mindset. You know, I don't know if you know when you see something come up on your computer and you've got a software update. We actually see them even on the phones now, and it's asking you to do an update. Well, it's a bit like us with the Word of God. We've got to get the Word into us so that our mind is renewed. Because our body, our spirit man has been recreated. We're a new creation in Christ. But it's the mind that hasn't caught up. That's the unregenerated part of our body. So when we get in the Word, our mind begins to think. It's like that software update that I was telling you about. So when we do the software update, then there's other things that we're able to do on the computer or on your phone that you weren't able to do before. And it's the same. When we get the Word of God in and we know what the Word of God says about us and who we are in Christ, then we're downloading that Word into thing, and then we're able to walk in what God has already given to you and I. Amen. But a lot of the time we're not downloading what's available to us. He's already done it. Everything that you need to live a life of that pertains to life and godliness, he's already given it to each and every one of us. Amen. You know, we've got to stop trying to get him to do and start receiving what he's already done in our life. Amen. You know, he's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness. He's given us everything. We are blessed with every spiritual blessing. You know, Jesus said on the cross, it is finished, which I read out before. But what do you think that means? You know, he was sent to the earth to finish everything he was sent to do by his Father. Amen? It's finished. Your healing is complete. Your righteousness is complete. Your prosperity is complete because we've been redeemed from all those things. Amen. Your redemption is done. We're not in the process of being redeemed. We are redeemed. Amen. Let's go to 1 Peter 1 verse 18. And again, I'm going to read from the New King James Version. First Peter 1:18. And knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, we have to wake up every morning knowing that we're not defeated. You know, we have to have the mindset that we're not defeated. We live a victorious life in Him, amen? Because the seed of Abraham is the seed of faith. And that's the ingredient that you and I need in order for us to walk this walk with God, amen, is to have that faith in the finished work of Christ. Was Abraham not the father of faith? Amen. Have we not inherited his blessing? Are we not part of his seed? Amen. And that's what we need. That's the position we need to start seeing ourselves in, from that position of victory, amen? That position of seeing ourselves already redeemed, already receiving everything that He has done, that pertains to life and godliness. You know, no matter what situation you're facing right now, because you're being bought with a price, amen? Without spot and without wrinkle, amen. We just read it there, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. You were today without spot and without blemish, amen. When Jesus looks at you, when God looks at you, you're perfect in His sight, amen. It's us that thinks that we're not right with God. But because we said yes to Jesus, we're perfect, amen, in His sight. You need to start seeing yourself whole. You need to start seeing yourself prosperous, no matter what situation it is. Your bank balance might show that you're not prosperous, but you are blessed. You are blessed, amen. You might have sickness in your body today, but that sickness, you are healed. He says, by your stripes you are healed. Amen? Because you've been bought with a price, and it's without spot and it's without blemish. You know, Paul touched on spiritual warfare last week when he was preaching, and you know, he brought it out that, you know, we're not fighting the devil, because the devil was already defeated, amen? All the devil can do is deceive us. You know, but for us, it's about maintaining that victory that Jesus did on the cross. That's our part. That's the part that we play, is that that's what spiritual warfare is, that we're maintaining the victory that Jesus died for so that we could walk in that freedom, amen? And now I'm going to read the same verse of thing, but from the NLT in 1 Peter 1:18 and verse 19. It says, "For you know that God paid a ransom to you from the empty life that you inherited from your ancestors. And it was not paid with mere gold or silver, which lose their value. It was the precious blood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God." You know, Jesus paid the ransom, and it was with the blood the ransom was paid, so that we no longer live under that curse of the law. Amen. We've been redeemed from that. We are free, amen? And I looked up the dictionary meaning of the word ransom, and it says to free from captivity or punishment from paying a price. So we're free. There's no more punishment. Jesus has paid the punishment for us, amen? We have been redeemed from it, amen? We are free because the price has been paid. He redeemed you from spiritual sickness. He redeemed you from poverty, and He redeemed you from sickness. Amen. And spiritual death, you know, like, you know, we sometimes, you know, don't understand. But because we're a new creation, you know, our spirit man has been recreated. So that now this outer flesh, this is just a covering. It's a bit like Adam and Eve. You know, when they walked with God, they had a covering, but it was the glory of God. So that's why they could walk around naked, because they were covered with God's glory. Amen. And we have that same covering. Amen. Because we've been redeemed. You know, the Bible says, "Let the redeemed of the Lord say so." You know, you just need to keep declaring that I'm redeemed. You need to keep declaring that I am blessed. You need to keep declaring that. all these things until it gets deep down on the inside that you know that no matter what situation that you're facing, that we are blessed. We are redeemed. We're not on a journey. It's already done. God has made it available for you and I. And you don't have to turn here, but Galatians 3:13 says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on the tree. So when he says Christ has redeemed us from the curse, and I brought this out when I did communion a few weeks ago, that, you know, we were in bondage to the law, and under the old law there was 613 laws, amen? I think there was the Ten Commandments, and then there was the other 613 laws. We weren't able to keep all these 613 laws, and when you weren't able to keep the 613 laws, you went from the blessing to the curse. Amen? We're being redeemed from that. But Christ, through his blood, purchased your freedom for all the curses. So none of those curses, if you ever go and look at those curses, none of those curses will ever come upon you. Amen? None of those curses will ever come upon you because we're being redeemed from it. Amen. And the moment you said to Jesus, you were set free. And you're not trying to get free, you were already free. Amen. Because what is it? John 8:36, I think it is. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We are free, amen, from all those curses. But if you haven't said yes to Jesus and become born again in your spirit, then these promises you haven't been able to experience it then. And I encourage anyone here that hasn't said yes to Jesus to come into that relationship with him, to experience that ransom that Jesus paid for you on the cross, to take your sin, to take everything that it was owing to you. There's a package there with your name on it waiting for you to sign it, amen? And when you say yes to Jesus, then you come into this glorious life of living for the Lord Jesus Christ, amen. You know, and the only way that can happen is when we accept Jesus into our heart, amen. All right, let's go to the book of Galatians, chapter 4. Galatians, chapter 4. I'm going to read from the New King James in this one. Now, I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so, when we were children, we were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. So Paul here says under the law, and he's making reference to the 613 laws under the old covenant. He says Jesus was born of a woman. He was born under law, amen, so that he could come and deliver us from under the law and purchase our freedom. And he did this so that we might receive adoption of sons. In verse 5 there it says to redeem those who were under the law. Notice there it says that we might receive adoption as sons. It didn't say you will. And this is very important to understand. Not only were we redeemed from the curse of the law, but we can also have the adoption as a son. Amen. And that is very important. And you'll see in a moment why. And I looked up the Greek word for adoption, and it means placing as a son. So that word adoption that we've just read here is translated, because you've got to remember that, you know, the Bible's been translated into thing. That word adoption in the Greek means placing as a son. Interesting, isn't it? So it's not the adoption as we know it. You know, we think that, you know, if we adopt a child, that child has a, you know, has a different DNA. But the DNA of us, when he adopts us as a son, because we're a new creation in him, we have the same DNA as God. We have the same character and the same likeness as God. We have the exact same DNA. If heaven did a DNA test on us, we'd have the same DNA as Jesus, amen? You know, We're redeemed that we might be adopted as sons, not with a different DNA, but with our born-again experience. We are born of God. We're born as a new creation and with God's exact DNA. And everyone here who's been born again, you become a new creation. And that is why, you know, when God says you're being created in my image and my likeness, amen? Because we now have the DNA. We have the same image and likeness as God. Might not look like it sometimes, but we do. We carry it. Amen. And we'll keep reading verse 6 of verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, "Abba, Father." Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir of God through Christ Jesus. You know, the Holy Spirit is the evidence of the son, that you are a son of God. Under the old covenant, you were a slave. You were a slave to the old covenant. But under the new covenant, you become a son. You're adopted as a son. You're welcomed as a son, the son of the Almighty God. Amen. And you, and not only are you son, but you're also an heir. Amen? You are an heir. And that, you know, on the day you got born again and the Holy Ghost came in, that was proof that you were a son. Amen? Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. And verse 14, for as many are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And the word Abba means daddy, daddy God. Amen. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Something has to take place with our identity, amen? Something has to take place. We need to no longer see ourselves as a slave, but we need to see ourselves as a son, amen? And I like what Paul said the other week. He goes, Satan is an identity thief. He wants to steal your identity of who you are in Christ. But you are a son of God. But you've been redeemed and that ransom has been paid for you and I so that we can walk in that new identity in Him. Amen. The spirit of sonship, it brings a knowing. We have a knowing that we are a son of the Almighty God. Amen. And, you know, now that we know that we are a son or a daughter of God, we have a sense that we're right with God. When you have that sense of knowing that you are right with God, you're not worried when you make that mistake because you're a son, amen? Because you're a son of the Almighty God. You think as a natural parent, when your kids make a mistake, yes, you're disappointed, but you still want the best for them, don't you? How much more does our Father in heaven want the best for you and I, amen? But you know, the spirit of a slave brings a sense that we need to perform in order for us to get right with God. That's what the law did. That's what the law did. It brought that slave mentality that I've got to do this and I've got to do that, rather than coming to this place of grace and being able to receive from God freely. Amen. But yeah, you no longer have a spirit of a slave. You are a son and daughter of the Most High. You know, we need to stop trying to perform to get things and just allow Him to just receive from Him. And, you know, we can boldly come to that throne room of grace. Amen. We can boldly come to Him. We don't have to come sheepishly. He says, come boldly to the throne room of grace. Come to that unmerited favor. Come and receive from me freely, says God. You know, but people who by faith receive what is already done through the Holy Spirit, it confirms the spirit of sonship in your life. Amen. And that is what I read out before, that we might receive the adoption as sons. It's by faith we receive. That's why it says we might receive the adoption, because we've got to receive it by faith, amen? Under the law, God was judge. Under the covenant of grace, God is your father. He's your father. We're no longer the judge. He's no longer the God that, you know, that the religious church settings will tell you that he's got a big stick and he's waiting there to, you know, to punish you for every time you make a mistake. All your sins are forgiven. He's forgiven all your sin, every mistake, past, present and future. And people say, oh, you know, I believe he can forgive me for my past sin. I believe he can forgive me for my current sin, but I can't believe he can forgive me for my future sin. Jesus died more than 2,000 years ago, amen? All your sins were in the future. All your sins were in the future. He died on the cross before you were even born, before he even knew you. He is a father, and we are under the grace of God today. We're no longer under the law. And, you know, God is my father, and our relationship with God isn't based on fear. And we read there in Romans 8:15, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba Father. He's our daddy, amen? He's our father. So we don't walk around in fear when we miss it, when we make mistakes, amen? So every time we make a mistake, we can boldly come to the throne room of grace and say, God, made a mistake. You know, but those sins have already been forgiven. You know, if we walked around and thought God was mad with us every time we made a mistake, that would make God as judge over our life. But he's not judge. He is now father over our life under this new covenant of grace. You know, the law brings insecurity. So if you're trying to operate under the old law, it brings insecurity. You become insecure in who you are in God because you're trying to operate under an old law. But we've been redeemed from that old law, and now we can walk in that covenant of grace, the covenant that allows us to boldly come to his throne room, amen? You know, don't allow the enemy to steal that identity of who you are, that you are a son of the Almighty God. If you've said yes to Jesus, then you are a son, amen? Because it says that you've been confirmed by the Holy Spirit, amen? Now, let's go to Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17, and I'm going to close here. Matthew chapter 3 and verse 17. And a voice from heaven said, this is my son whom I love, and with him I am well pleased. You know, this was God talking about his own son, Jesus. But we need to see ourselves the same. We are a son. We are a son of the Almighty God. And there's three things I want us to see in that verse of scripture that help you to understand this, and that our relationship with him is that we are redeemed. And the first one is, this is my son. That's our identity. That's who we are. We are the son of the Almighty God, whom I love. Acceptance. We're accepted. Amen. And three, and with him I am well pleased. Approval. We're approved. Amen. We have identity. We have acceptance. We have approval. You know, even if you're not a Christian, you know, those three things are things that every person needs, every human being needs. Is that identity, that acceptance, and that approval, amen? Our identity is in Christ. You know, it's not in our jobs, it's not in our gifts and all that. Our identity is in Christ. I'm no longer a slave, but I'm a son, amen? And I'm accepted because he loves us. You know, Ephesians 1:6 says, you have been accepted in the beloved, amen? And I've been approved. Did you know God's pleased with you? I want to tell you today, God is pleased with you. He is pleased. He's not angry. He's not looking there and like, ah, good. I saw what Paul was doing. You know, he's pleased. He is pleased with us. The law is for servants. Sons is for the grace. Under the grace, we are sons. Amen. We are adopted as sons. So today I'm asking you to receive the ransom that he's paid for you and I. He's paid a ransom for you and I. He's paid a price so that you can have a new identity in him. And sometimes we don't see ourselves as a son of the living God. But God's asking you to begin to see yourself the way he sees you. He wants you to be able to see you the way he sees you. And he wants you to begin to see the same way. And it's been made available for you. All we have to do is begin to receive it by faith, amen? We have to receive that into our hearts, that spirit of sonship that's in our hearts. You know, he's asking you today to receive the acceptance, that you're accepted in him, amen? He's asking you today to receive the approval, that you are approved in him. He's saying you're approved today, and he is well pleased with you. You know, but we're going to have to rise up boldly in these last days and begin to declare these things, because the enemy wants to steal who you are in him. He wants to steal that identity and begin to think that you are nothing on this earth. He wants you to begin to think that you're defeated, but you've been redeemed from that. That's why it's normally on there, but yeah. Your redemption is done. He's done everything. We just have to begin to receive it by faith, amen, and grace in Jesus, amen. And you're going to have to boldly declare these things, that any time Satan tries to come and steal that identity from you, you can just say, no, Satan, I am a son of God. I am the son of the Almighty God. I am the son who has set me free. Whom the son sets free is free indeed. Amen. You know, the price has been paid. I am redeemed and I am healed. Amen. So we can begin to rejoice in what he's done in you and I. So let's just pray. Father, I just begin to thank you, Lord, for your word. I begin to thank you, Lord, the price that you paid on the cross, the price you paid for you and I to come into this glorious life with you, Father. And Lord, we just thank you that we have come into that spirit of sonship with you, that you have redeemed us. We're not trying to get redeemed, but we are already redeemed. We have been set free from everything, from poverty, sickness, spiritual death, all these things, Lord, you have redeemed us from. So, Father, we just begin to thank you for it. We thank you, Lord, that we would lock this word in our hearts and begin to meditate on these things, Father, in the name of Jesus, that, Lord, we know who we are in you, that we have been redeemed. We're not trying to get redeemed, but we are redeemed. And we thank you, Father, for it in your mighty name. Amen.